So what's number 15? Mamupetya punarjanma.
Mamupetya punarjanma.
Dukkhalayam ashashvatam.
Dukkhalayam ashashvatam.
Naapnuvanti mahatmanah.
Naapnuvanti mahatmanah.
Samsiddhim paramam gataha.
Samsiddhim paramam gataha.
Okay, together. Mamupetya punarjanma. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Naapnuvanti mahatmanah. Samsiddhim paramam gataha. So, mam upetya. So, Bhagavan says, one who obtains me. Upetya means one who obtains me, one who reaches me. Upetya means having reached me, having obtained me. What happens to such an individual? In the last, he says, samsiddhim paramam gataha. So, reaching me becomes the highest siddhi, the highest achievement, paramam gataha. One who has got to this highest achievement, what happens? So Bhagavan says in the second line, mahatmanaha. He is a mahatma, he is a great individual. And na apnuvanti, he does not get what? Dukh alayam ashashvatam. So Bhagavan has a very beautiful definition of this world. He says it is a dukh alayam. It is the house of sorrow. Ashashvatam. Shashvat means permanent. Ashashvatam means temporary. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says that one who reaches me, which is the highest goal of life, the highest purpose, then such a person does not come back to this world of sorrow, this temporary world of sorrow. Ashashvatam dukhalayam. So he said, how can you say this world is world of sorrow? There are so many joys we have, so many pleasures we have. What do you mean? So they say that, why do they say the world is temporary? I heard a very beautiful example. It's like you take a handful of sand or handful of water and you squeeze it. What happens? All slips out. And when you open your hand, just a little bit of sand or a little bit of water is coating it. So it's not permanent. It slips out. Whatever joys we have in this world stay for a while and they slip out. That's number one. Number two, joy ultimately leads to sorrow. A person I get joy from, later that same person can give me sorrow. An object, I buy a new car, it gives me joy. In a few years, it gives me sorrow. A house, a job, whatever I get, it looks like it is giving me joy, but sooner or later, whatever situations I am will lead to sorrow. Either that situation will leave me or I will get tired of the situation. This person who loved me will stop loving me. This thing that gave me joy will stop giving me joy. I was reading this question from this lady who says that in this pandemic, I miss all my friends and I miss all the parties and the dancing and I don't have a boyfriend. I feel all alone. I feel lonely. I feel sad. How am I to overcome? And in this, that's what we are all noticing, that all our previous so-called joys, you know, are no longer available to us. We can't travel. We can't party. We can't get together, karaoke, all those things are ended. Travel, going to China, going in the plane, going in the restaurants. So the answer is that all these things are external. No doubt they give us joy, but remember that they are all temporary. A person, a situation. Ultimately, who is with you? You yourself. Ultimately, you have to find joy within. You have to find peace within. And that can only happen when you find God within. Because when you realize that God is with me constantly, then how can I be lonely? How can I be alone? Whether somebody is with me or not, even if I am single, even if I am sitting in this house, cannot meet friends, cannot go anywhere. God is with me. So that's what they say. Ultimately, only you are with yourself. And that is the truth. So find the joy within and find God's presence within. And then if somebody is available, you can talk, is fine. You can interact. If not, just sitting and reading or sitting and, you know, listening to some good lectures, reading some good books, communicating with, there are so many saints whose talks are available. You just have to click on Chinmaya channel and you'll find hundreds of talks by all our teachers. And that is a very beautiful way to fill up your time with joyful situations. So that is only permanent, and that is God. So the world is full of change. Everything that happens is a change. Like a 3-year-old dies, a 4-year-old is born. 5-year-old child dies, 6-year-old is born. The flower dies, the fruit is born. Fruit dies, the seed is born. The seed dies, the plant is born. Again, flower. So the point is that this life is a constant change, and so is my birth and death. That's why they say that this person goes beyond birth and death, because we think of death as a very sad situation. But Mahatma say the problem is not death, it is birth. Because once you are born, you will face all the life situations, and ultimately death is inevitable. One who is born has to die. So that's why they say go to the state of beyond birth and death. And how does that happen? Realize your eternal nature, that I am that eternal consciousness. Because birth and death are inevitable, and we have talked about that before. Who is born and who dies? The body perishes. The body is not eternal. It gets either cremated or buried. What goes into another life is the subtle body. The gross body is burnt. It's the mind and intellect. The subtle body, based on my karmas and based on my vasanas, my desires, I take a new birth. But in between, we go to heaven or hell, depending on our karmas. I spend some time in heaven or hell. I means this subtle body, which even in all religions they talk about birth and death and heaven and hell. But most other faiths do not believe in the rebirth, where they say once the individual perishes, then he goes to heaven or hell, eternal heaven or hell. But in Vedanta, in Hinduism, they say you get more opportunity. So talking about heaven, there was this very rich man who died, and he found himself on the gates of heaven. He was very happy. Oh, I'm going to go to heaven. So Saint Peter welcomes him, says, come on, follow me. So he follows him, and all the streets are paved with gold, and there are beautiful mansions, huge mansions. And he's walking around. Aha, which one of these is going to be mine? As he walks further, he comes to the house of Indra, the biggest house in heaven. He says, aha, now I'm nearby. And then as he passes Indra's house, slowly it changes from gold, the streets become silver, then they become cement, and then they become a dirt road. And the houses keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And finally, at the end of the last dirt road, there is a small little hut. And Saint Peter says, this is your home. He says, this? And he goes inside, and there's not even a bathroom. Saint Peter says, you have to use the outhouse. He said, this is what I get in heaven? Saint Peter says, sorry, this is all we could come up with the money you sent us. Having all this money, he just kept it to himself, didn't give anything. So Saint Peter said, so the point is that we don't help others to what can I get, or whether I should get a big house in heaven. The point is that society has given us so much in this life that it is our duty to give back. Otherwise, you're accumulating a negative karmic balance where I take from the world and I do not give back. I was reading in the paper today, there's a beautiful organization in Bakersfield called Relief Shoppers. And what these young men and women do, they go to senior citizens' homes and get a list. What do you need from the grocery store? what you need from Walmart or Costco. And then free of charge, they will take the list, go buy the things, and then bring it back to them. So that is, whatever ability you have, use that in giving back without expecting anything in return. And that is service. So what is service is give up this ego, I, myself, and you know, me, myself, and I, and identify with the consciousness within, which is the same as the consciousness everywhere. So one who identifies himself or herself with the totality that is within me, the Lord that is within me is the Lord in all. So when I'm serving somebody or when I'm helping somebody, I'm not helping anybody else. I am helping myself. That attitude of service is what is required, because then there is no even an idea of any sacrifice. Even when I sacrifice, if I'm using my gas to go get his grocery, that's okay. I'm bringing for myself. So even the idea that I am serving or helping should not be there. Yes, if somebody thanks me, is grateful, that's fine. But I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because that is my duty. Society has given me, I have the ability, let me help somebody who cannot do it. I was reading a very beautiful quotation from Jalaluddin Rumi. He's a great Sufi scholar. And he says it very beautifully. He says, I was unmanifest. And then from unmanifest, I found myself in this forest of life. Beautiful words. He says, I found myself in this forest of life. And I started out as a mineral. I was a mineral. I mean, I was a rock. Then I became a plant. Then I became an animal. Then I became a human. So even there, he's talking about reincarnation. So he says, I was a mineral, I became a plant, I became an animal, I became a human. And then as a human, I found myself going round and round in this world until I met wise people. And they guided me to the path which takes me to your door. Lord, took me to your door. And as I followed that path, I became your servant. And once I did that, I realized you are me and I am you. So that is the highest knowledge of Vedanta in four beautiful lines where he has summarized everything, how his creation was, how the world came into being, and how I can become a servant of God and ultimately become one. So that is the true devotee, true bhakta, and that is what is the highest goal of life. And that is what they say. These are the Mahatmas. These are the wise people, Mahan Atma, the great souls who have become one with that and then realize that there is only one highest, one absolute. And that is Bhagwan, that is Brahman, that is Paramatma, that is the divinity that is within and without, everywhere, all pervading. And that can only happen when I realize this is enough. How long am I going to continue this same path of joy and sorrow, heat and cold, success and failure, birth after birth, like this Rumi says, I was a mineral, then plant, then animal, human, and then am I going to continue more births, human or animal? So Guruji tells us very beautiful in the Kathopanishad commentary. He says that even if we do not reach enlightenment in this life itself, but if I have put effort in this direction to progress on the spiritual path, if I reach enlightenment, that's wonderful. We'll talk about that next week. What is enlightenment? What is Krama Mukti and Jivan Mukti? We'll talk about that next week. But Guruji says, even if we do not reach that path of enlightenment, the final goal of life, but if I have progressed, then wherever I have reached, my journey will continue from there. Even Bhagavan tells in the sixth chapter that your life is not wasted. If you reach enlightenment, very good. Even if you do not reach, But if you have put effort in this direction, then wherever you reach, you continue your life's journey from there. So, having got this human birth, let us not waste this opportunity. Let us take the next step, and that is evolving to the higher state of enlightenment. So that's why Bhagavan says, one who has reached me or even progressed in my direction, he does not come back to this world of sorrow because he has already progressed. So he or she, even if they do take a birth, it will be a higher state of consciousness. Bhagavan says such an individual is born in the house of yogis. I will make sure that he is born in the house of yogis where he or she can continue their spiritual journey. And so that is what, so today we have heard that chanting Om, you can remember the Lord and reach the highest goal when you have given up the body, remembering God. And Om is the goal of meditation. If you cannot meditate, practice the path of bhakti, and then bhakti will take us to knowledge. And what is the benefit of bhakti? What is the benefit of remembering God? Where you go beyond this world of sorrow. So that is the essence of these three verses. Just a few announcements. We have had a collection for CORD. A lot of you have donated. We are using these funds for taking care of children and women in underprivileged places in India, Sri Lanka, and also in Bakersfield. The money is being used. So those of you who have donated, we are very thankful. If you have not, please do send us the money so we can forward the money to CORD USA, from where the money will be sent to the appropriate. And whatever, after sponsoring 10 children, whatever extra is left, we use it in Bakersfield to help the less fortunate ones. We have already sent 2,000, but we'll be sending more. Also, we have, if you would wish to donate to CORD, you can do it by PayPal, by credit card, or send a check. So call Neeru if you wish to donate. Also, Vimalji, many of you have heard him. We have requested him to come back, but he won't be coming physically because travel is not available. But he has agreed from Monday, June 8th, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, Monday to Friday, 5 days in the evening, he will be speaking from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. He has done Mandukya Upanishad, one of the most beautiful Upanishads. He has done the first two chapters. He will be doing the third chapter called Advait Prakarana. So please make a note from next Monday onward. And if we get a good response, then he can come back every couple of months. We can even invite other speakers. So at least we need at least 15, 20 people to sign up, to log in. So he will be talking on Zoom, and the site will be the same. It will be the same site number and code and password. So please make a note, and if we have a good response, then we will continue. Monday to Friday, right?
Monday to Thursday.
Monday to Thursday. Okay, he said Monday to Thursday, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., and we'll be sending you an email. This is what I have to say about these shlokas. What I would like to request is request the youngsters to talk first. And then after they have spoken, then any adults, if they can contribute or add or participate. So, Rushil, anything you would like to add to this today's?
Yeah, towards the middle of the session, you were talking about how much dedication it requires to do things that you love. And that kind of struck home with me, especially because, you know, I'll be going to college in the fall and I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do. And so I think that finding that dedication is what I need in order to truly motivate myself and work to something.
Very nice. Very nice. No, that's true. Dedication and what I love. I have to find what I love doing and do that. And at the same time, yes, you have to discover yourself. You know, you have to find who I am, what is my goal, what is my purpose, and using guidelines from the Bhagavad Gita, talking to your parents, other guides that will guide you towards that. But thank you. It's a very good, very nice comment. Krina, do you have anything else you would like to add?
I want to say that I really like the story about the one where he went to heaven and then he learned that wealth is really measured in kindness or giving back. That was a really good story.
Yeah, thank you.
But I also had a question.
Yes.
So during our life, I know we talk about like how we have different roles and different jobs. And then when we were talking about chapter 14, you talked about like how we have smaller goals, and but we should really always focus on our ultimate one. How do we make sure that like with every like small goal that we have with all the different roles? So like as a student, I want to succeed and get A's, or as a parent later in life, I want to make sure my kids are happy and they're well provided for. Like, throughout having all these smaller goals, how do we make sure that they're like lined up with our ultimate goal?
That's a very, very nice question. First of all, there is no smaller goal. Whatever I am doing at this moment is my highest goal. So as a student, my highest goal is to get A's and to be the best student I can be. Once I take up a job, I should be the best professional I can be, whether it's a doctor or engineer or lawyer. And then whatever, as a mother, as a father, I have to, my role towards my spouse, towards my children, towards my parents as they get older. So all those roles are big goals. They are not small goals. Wherever God has placed me is the perfect place for me to evolve spiritually and to give back to society. So every role I should perform with that attitude that this is the best thing for me. But at the background, I should not forget God. That A, God has given me whatever I have. And secondly, my goal of life through all this. So when I do activities dedicated to God and remembering God, then every activity becomes a prayer. Then whether I sit in the temple or not, or whether I sit in the prayer room or not, every activity can become a prayer. So doing the best I can, dedicating all my activities to God without worrying about the result, what is in it for me, and with an attitude of service when I work, then that is my goal. So every job is the best. So there is, even if I am a janitor and sweeping the floors, that also can become service. Why? Because God is in this house. So when I'm sweeping, then even that act of sweeping becomes an act of service. So, yeah. So focus comes from loving what you do and working unselfishly. But thank you. That's a very nice question. Very good comment. Are there any other youngsters, any other youth? Sneha is... Anybody else? Any other children?
Anybody else?
Okay, how about adults? If anybody would like to add anything or ask question or anything you like to add, suggest.
Anilji, I have a question.
Sure.
So, Anilji, I know however much we want to remember, it always comes after the fact. You know, after we have boiled down with our emotions or been, you know, angry or confused or felt helpless or excited, the realization always comes a little bit later. So, I want to say that he is always traveling with me. You know, Lord is always around me. He's always supporting me and I'm really nothing without him. But I do get carried away, you know, bogged down in everyday matters, whether it is, oh my God, I'm on a time crunch, I have not done this, and you know that feeling of helplessness, and then doing it as quickly as possible, and then losing yourself somewhere in between. But then you realize it after a little bit later, that you know what, whatever had to happen, it's okay. You know, I don't want to give my life or take anybody's life for this. So how do we constantly remain so calm about when we are in the process?
Right. That's a very, very good question. So I think there are two or three answers to this question. First of all, being aware that in life, things are not always going to go smoothly. So I should know that. I should accept the fact. And so in life, there will be situations which are joyful, which are sorrowful, which are stressful, which are peaceful. So understand that that is normal. And the fact that I forgot and got lost in it is okay too, because it's difficult to keep your calm at all times. But what one can do is constant reading and constant listening to. So spending some time every day listening to acharyas, listening to these talks, reading about them. So what it will do is will make that knowledge firm within us. So that's number one, listening. And becoming aware that last time I got angry and did not, and so because of that anger, I said something which I shouldn't have, or I got stressed out. So I achieved that forgetfulness. So when you remember it afterwards, you say, okay, next time it happens, I won't. So reminding yourself, and I think just constantly, and then when you're suddenly stressed out or angry or upset, just taking a few deep breaths. That's why before we start the class, we ask everybody to breathe, because breathing is one of the best ways to quieten your mind and remind yourself. And then also regular meditation. When you meditate for 20 minutes or half an hour every morning, your mind will become more peaceful. And then you will remember that in my meditation, my mind was peaceful and quiet, and now I am away from that. So you will be able to go back. So all these techniques. And then other thing is put little reminders on your screensaver. Put a picture of God. I know women like to put a picture of their children, or for us, grandchildren. But, you know, maybe split it or half, I don't know. But or have a picture of God on your wall. Of course, in the puja room we do. Or in your car, you know, have a little picture. And before you drive, just, you know, remember God and just thank Him, and then say, be with me as I drive. So putting little reminders helps. So all of these things together, but mainly to be aware that in the past I had forgotten and next time I won't. And it is a gradual process. And also regularly study. You know, this Sunday class we have, we also have a study group on Wednesday 8 to 9, which has been going on for last 20 plus years. And joining a group like that, now we are doing it online, so you can go to the same site. You don't have to even be in Bakersfield. Wednesday 8 to 9 study group, where we are discussing these topics, and whereby, you know, different people prepare. We do a particular text. So just frequent reminders. And with practice, that's what Bhagavan says, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. Mind can be controlled by abhyas and vairagya. Abhyas is practice and vairagya is detachment. Slowly I develop detachment where the world is no longer has that heavy weight on me. I don't know if I answered it.
No, yes you did. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah,
I have
Lata.
A question. In the shloka 15, you just covered, but there is a last line. It says, they having reached the highest perfection, that's moksha state. Is that the state of then no return for this body?
Yes. Yes. I mean, then this individual does not take another birth. Na apnuvanti dukhalayam ashashvatam. So that is the state of liberation, but that can be achieved in this life itself. While that's why all these great Mahatmas, they are liberated in this life itself. But those who do not reach this state of enlightenment can then continue their journey where they... So moksha is the state of liberation. And there are two steps to liberation. We'll talk in more detail about that. About Krama Mukti and Jivan Mukti. But here he's talking about Jivan Mukti. In this life itself, this person is enlightened and then no longer takes another birth.
Oh, okay.
That is called the Paramam Gatim, Sam Siddhim. That is the highest goal of life, is enlightenment. Highest goal of life is not to become president of the US. Highest goal of life is to attain enlightenment.
Physical people also, like Mahatma Gandhi was there, Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Junior, yes. King Junior. Without them, you know, we would not be where we are, probably. I don't know.
No, that is very true. That's what you're saying. These are very evolved individuals who are highly evolved, who have made their life a life of service. So yes, so these are our role models, where these people have spent their whole life in giving back to society, and they are highly evolved individuals. You know, look at Martin Luther King. He was a pastor, but you know, very connected to God. So was Mahatma Gandhi. You know, so, and of course, all the Shankaracharya and Gurudev.
They did not start out as that. They probably were flawed individuals.
Yes.
But they evolved and they saw that bigger purpose. Somehow their eyes were opened much earlier. And what the social good they did for the humanity.
Yes.
Would you say, individual nations and eventually for the humanity?
Yeah, no, that's true. See, not everybody starts at that, you know. The fact that we have taken birth, that means we have unfulfilled vasanas, unfulfilled. Right. If we had not, then we were already enlightened. We would not have taken birth. So whoever has taken birth is imperfect, has some unfulfilled vasanas, desires, tendencies. So, but these individuals were probably either quite advanced, or in during this life, they had right teaching, right knowledge, and very quickly they were able to evolve. Like Mahatma Gandhi had to have only one incident. He was thrown off the train in South Africa and immediately woke him up. I'm sure Martin Luther King went through some difficult time being black and growing up in this country and all. So these people, even though they have encountered sorrow, they have used those occasions to improve themselves. And so it's a gradual process, and ultimately the goal of life is to go beyond vasanas, to go beyond desires, to become liberated, enlightened. But they have reached that very high state of evolution. Yeah. Yes.
But while we are given this birth, we are here and learning the teachings of this Bhagavad Gita, we can practice that with that ultimate goal. But we have to live every day, though, you know?
Yes.
And put those lessons in practice.
Right.
Is that?
Absolutely. I think what they say is that for these teachings to take effect, we have to have purity of mind. You need clarity of knowledge and purity of mind. Clarity of knowledge comes from studying Bhagavad Gita. Purity of mind comes from unselfish activity, karma yoga, activities dedicated to God, you know, with bhakti and all. So both are required. So through the path of service, through the path of giving, through the path of love, I am slowly purifying my mind. And when my mind is pure and has less of anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, and so on, then automatically the knowledge becomes clearer. Knowledge can only come in a pure mind. If my mind is full of anger, then even if I'm listening to Bhagavad Gita, it will have no effect.
One more question, sorry.
Yeah, sure.
This moksha. Can you have a state of mind where you say, I don't want moksha, but I want to be in this physical body for the service of the humanity and the creation that he has created?
No, that is very good. The path of service is very good. But when you have the right knowledge, then you realize that I am serving everybody. They are me, because there is one God in everybody. So then ultimately, even the idea that I'm giving to anybody else goes away. That's number one. Number two, when I'm doing karma, then when things are going according to what I want, then I'll be happy. But tomorrow somebody interferes in my path of service, then I could get angry and I could say, why is this person not letting me serve? So having the right knowledge strengthens your service, your ability to serve. So this knowledge is very important. Otherwise, just doing karma, 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 then what will happen is you will get another birth, you will get another birth, and you will continue the cycle of birth and death. But the goal of life is to be happy within and to be eternally happy. And I mean, service is good, but ultimately the goal of life is, and like that's why the river, she serves as she goes, gives water to everybody. But she knows that my ultimate goal is to become one with the ocean. As she is going, she's serving. So similarly, I serve the world, but my goal is enlightenment or moksha. That has to be the highest goal. Otherwise, you will just go birth after birth, death after death, birth after birth. And it's not bad if that's your purpose in life. But
it's a high... I don't think Mahatma Gandhi, as we were just going to give example, okay, I'm going to go and liberate India from Britishers, you know. But somewhere it happened to him, and that's what it became ultimate.
Right. So, but yeah, that's true. But his goal was not, but it was a spiritual goal. It was not only karma yoga. That's why he always said Harijan. You know, he called people that they are all children of God. And that's why when he was shot, he said, "Hey, Ram." So even though he was serving, but he was serving as a spiritual being. He had not forgotten his spiritual entity. And that is important. Otherwise, your service, you can develop arrogance, you can develop selfishness, you can develop, you know, pride, all those things. And that can only come when you think I am doing it. But when God is working through me, then there is no pride, there is no arrogance, there is no hatred, no jealousy, no competitiveness.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I think we can now do the Hanuman Chalisa. Thank you very much for coming and for participating. We'll see you next Sunday. Hari Om.
Shri Guru Charna Sarojaraja Nijamana Mukura Sundari Varana Raghuvara Bimala Jasu Chodayaka Falachari Buddhihin Tanu Janike Sumiro Pavana Kumar Bala Buddhi Vidya Dehu Mohi Harahukadesha Vinkar Jai Hanuman Jnana Gun Sagar Jai Kapisa Piru Loka Ujagar Rama Duta Atulita Baladama Anjani Putra Pavana Sutanama Mahavira Vikrama Bajarangi Kumati Nivara Sumati Kesangi Kanchana Varana Viraj Suvesa Kanala Kundala Kunchita Kesa Hatha Dvaj Ordvaja Viraje Kande Muja Jane Usaje Sankara Suvara Kesari Nandana Teja Pratapa Mahajagavandan Vidyavana Guni Ati Chatur Rama Kaja Kari Beko Atur Prabhu Charita Suni Beko Rasya Rama Lakhana Sita Mana Basya Shukshma Rupa Dari Siyami Dikava Vigata Rupa Dari Lanka Jarava Bhima Rupa Dari Asura Sahare Nama Chandra Ke Kaja Savare Layas Jeevana Lakhna Jiyaye Shira Gavira Hara Shivra Laye Agupati Kindi Tuma Bhauta Barai Tuma Mama Priya Bharata Hi Samabai Sahasta Badana Tuma Roj Sagave So Asakahi Shripati Kanta Lagave Sankadi Brahmadi Munisa Narada Sarada Sahita Ahisa Yamakubera Dikapala Jahate Kaviko Vidakahi Sake Kahante Tuma Upakar Sugriva Rikinha Ramu Milaya Rajput Patadinha Tuma Tumahara Mantra Vibhishana Mana Lankeshwara Baya Savajagajana Yuga Sahasta Jo Jara Parabhanu Vindiyo Tahi Madura Falajanu Prabhu Mudrika Meni Mukhamai Jaladi Ranchike Acharachanai Durgama Kaja Jagat Ke Chete Sulama Anugra Tumare Tete Rama Duare Tumara Kavare Hotana Aga Dina Pesare Savasuka Lahe Tumari Sharana Tumarakshakata Uko Darana Apan Teja Samaro Ape Tino Loka Hatke Kape Ucha Pichasane Kachanahi Ave Mahavira Jabanam Sunave Nase रोग हरे सब पीरा जपत निरंतर हनुमत वीरा संकट से हनुमान चुरा Churave mana krama vachana dhyana jolave sabapara rama tapasvi raja tinake kadusa kavatu masaja ora manorata joko ilave so yamite jivana falafave charo yuga paratapu tumara he parsita jagat ujiyara sadhu santa ke tumarakvare asunani kandana rama durare ashta siddhi navaniti ke data asavar Nina Janaki Mata Rama Rasayara Tumare Pasa Sadaraho Raghupati Ke Dasa Tumahare Bhajana Rama Gopave Janama Janama Ke Dukha Visarave Antakala Raghuvira Parajayi Jaha Janma Hari Bhakta Kahani और देवता चिंतन धरिये हनुमत से ही सर्व सुख करिये संकट कटे मिटे सब पीरा जो सुमिरे हनुमत बल पीरा जय 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 हनुमान गुसाई कृपा करो गुरुदेव किनाई जो सद बार पाठ कर कोई छोटे ही बंदी महाशुक होई जो यह पर हनुमान चालीसा होय सिद्धि साकी गौरीसा तुलसीदास सदा हरि चेरा कीजे नाथ हृदय महादेरा पवन यतय संकट हरण मंगल मूर्ति रूप राम लखन सीता सहित हृदय बसहु सुरभु सियावर राम चंद्र की जय भवन सत हनुमान की जय उपमापति महादेव की जय बोलो भाई सब संतन की जय
थैंक यू वेरी मच गुड जॉब कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावा करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ॐ असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ थैंक यू हरि ओम्